Good morning. You were in John 8. 8:31. It says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, the things that occurred, you know, I know you were talking about with JC's eyes and the things that were going on, but some of the truths there that came upon you was not something that you were, you did not know, okay? And that's why you sought the counsel, and then the truth came, and it was adjustments on you guys' part, and it highlighted areas of, I would say, deficiency on some fronts. And then, but when you got that truth and then you received that counsel and then you went forward in that counsel, it what? It set Jay free. Okay? So the thing that happened there was that the truth came to you. Praise God. The other thing that happened there, too, is that y'all sought counsel on this thing as well. So praise the Lord. But really, that's, you know, I was talking to you yesterday about that, is getting to that truth, getting to that thing, because it's something that comes about where yet you can turn that around. Where things can be turned around is when you come to the knowledge of the truth. Gosh, it's one thing for me to see it. It's another for somebody else to see it. It's another for somebody else to see it. But it's when you come to the knowledge of that truth, then you can yet abandon that old way and then take upon his counsel and go about that new way. And it's a relieving thing. And the truth can... It can sting a bit because it testifies against you. That's why we need his grace and his mercy. All right. Now, I want to really go to John, and I'm just going to be hitting around in John just a little bit because this talks about if you continue in my word. And you were talking about keeping his commandments. And one of the things that happens here is that, look, let's go to John chapter 14, verse 15. And it says this, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And then you go to chapter 15, verse 12, it says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." And see, it highlights really that agape love. It's a choice. And it's an interesting concept in this. And, you know, you can hear Davey's preachings, and you can hear where he says, where he tells his son, "Hey, son, do you love me?" "Yes, Dad, I love you." "Well, then do what I say." "Do what I say." You know, I mean, it's really a simple, that comes down to a choice. I mean, philios love is that feeling love. You know, you make a choice where it's not really you make a choice. You make me feel good, I make you feel good. You know, I love you. All right, great. Feeling great. But, I mean, it really comes down to that. And when you can really examine the coming to that truth, I mean, if you love the Lord, then you're going to be obedient unto him. And when you, if you look at that and and all it entails. I mean, because look, we got many different positions. We are, some of you guys are wives. Some of you guys are husbands. Some of you guys are brothers. Some of you guys are sisters. Some of you guys are children. Some of you guys, you know, and it very clearly, I mean, you can go through epistle after epistle, how it really kind of states how that looks, that love of the Lord looks. Okay, and so if you look at, look, man, you can say you love the Lord till you're blue in the face. All right, you can say you love the Lord till you're blue in the face, but really when it comes down to the litmus test of really if you love the Lord, do you do what he tells you to do? Do you do what he tells you to do? I mean, that really, that's the truth of it. I mean, there's no way of escaping that. I mean, there really isn't, is there? I mean, that's just the truth. Now, the truth can set you free because, look, you can come to the recognitions that, man, I am not loving you, Lord. I remember Ricky testifying, and I think he was talking to Davey and Ann at the time, and he come to the realization for himself, and I think this was a turning point as he testified, and he's online, or he might listen to it, or he might not, I don't know, and he can correct me if I'm wrong. But I believe that the turning point of that was that the simple fact is that he came to this truth. You know, the truth of the matter is, I have not loved the Lord. I have not been loving the Lord. See, that was the truth that he came to. And that was the truth of now when he saw it, he started repenting of it, and he started to choose to love the Lord. He started to choose to love the Lord. Because look, guys, the real issue isn't if the Lord loves us. That's not it. I mean, he's shown his love 2,000 years ago up on that cross when he laid down his life for the sins of the whole world. Not only that, has he not shown up mightily in you guys' life? I mean, he has. So the issue, guys, really doesn't come down to, it really does not come down if the Lord loves us. You got to shake that notion right now. And you got to really take a hold and grab a hold of this truth, because that's not it. Now, our carnal mind and the enemy wants to put in all kinds of things saying otherwise, but in him is light and there's no darkness at all. And he's a perfect father and he wants nothing but good things for us. We being evil, and I want to highlight that being evil. I didn't say that you who might think you're evil or you who are sometimes evil. No, it says you that are evil. Being evil. Know how to give good gifts to your own children. How much more will the Father give unto his own? Perfect, righteous, gave his Son up so that we can have an opportunity to be with him. Now, go into that. So we understand, or we should understand, that the issue doesn't lie with the Lord loving us. He might not like us sometimes. And he might not know some folks out there. Okay, but the real issue is, do we love him? And if we love him, we'll what? Keep his commandments. You'll do what he says. It's very simple. And we can come up with 1,000 excuses and justifications of the reason why we can't keep his commandments, or the reason why we won't keep his commandments, or that we're somehow good and just, and there's a reason why we haven't. Or we just flat out lie to ourselves and say we have, and yet we have not. So this is really, it's kind of like a truth serum, if you'd see, on this front. But the point of coming to that place, like Ricky did, where you come to that truth, where you recognize that you haven't been loving him. You haven't been making him first. You haven't been taking him seriously. You haven't been doing any of these things. You know what you can do? Repent. And I've talked about what repentance is. It means to what? Turn 180 degrees around. Repentance really means change your mind. You ask the Lord to forgive you of all of those, that nonsense of not loving him and rejecting him and putting yourself first. And he is faithful and just to forgive you of those things. And a true repentance will bring around that. You know what? From the point where you have not loved him, you have not been keeping his commandments and these things, then you start actually doing it. It becomes number one to you. What does the scripture say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first him. The scripture also talks about being, it can't be my disciple unless you put him first. And I'm paraphrasing that. He can't even be his disciple if you don't do that. So here's the setting free of things, because now that you can let go and turn, just like you had when those things were represented to you about the things on use guys and the deficiency that you were having with, you know, with JC and his eye problem and all these kinds of things, that you can turn around from that old way you have been doing things and start in his way and actually start loving the Lord and loving your child. Amen, Sarah. Thank you. And has that not been a blessing and a good thing? And has he not been set free? Amen. He has. See, it's the same thing, folks. It's the same things. Same thing. But really coming to that knowledge of the truth and really getting honest with yourself, because that's really key. That's really key. I mean, look, I can tell somebody that they're having an issue. I can talk to them about an issue that they're having or they're struggling with. And I can sit there and say, hey, look, this is what the deal is. This is why this is a struggle. This is why it's been like you going up against a brick wall is because of this. Boom, 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 boom. But unless you realize it and you turn from it, it's really not going to do you any good. And see, that's a choice that comes down to who? You, personally. So coming to that truth of these things and coming to the truth that you have not been loving the Lord and you have not been putting him first. Look, man, it takes getting really brass, just honest with yourself. Because it's so easy to justify yourself. It's so easy to make excuse. It's so easy to put blame on one another or the Lord. It's so easy to do those things. In fact, we are professionals at it. We're like born into it. Watch your children play. Watch when something goes awry. Is it ever their fault that it went awry? I mean, do you hardly ever see, hey, that was my fault? I mean, every once in a while you do. I mean, I've seen it amongst my children. Every once in a while I'll get that, Yeah, Dad, I accidentally, you know, boom, and this happened, and this happened. That was my fault. I mean, every once in a while you do. But for the most part, if there's an argument involved, oh, no. That one child is just and right, and it was all the other person's fault. And then you ask the other one, guess what? That one person's just and right, and it's all the other person's fault. You know what? It really comes down to the truth of the situation. Guess who's wrong? Both. So, look, man, we have been prone to be like this from the time we're yay old. You know, I'm sure Sarah, if she had a can talk on some of these fronts, man, I mean, it's all, I mean, the reason why she's upset, it's mom's fault or dad's fault or something's going on there that, you know, is going on. But look, I share this with you is because, look, it really, for you to really want to go forward in the Lord, if you really want to go forward in the Lord, you really want to grab a hold and you really want to be set free, look, man, get honest with yourself. Get in your closets and get set free because Jesus Christ is a liberator. All right? He's not here to set bounds and chains on you. That's not what he's here for. He's here to set you free. He really is. And in him is light and there's no darkness at all. None. 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 But coming to that honest truth about yourself, I mean, that could be sometimes devastating because you didn't think you were that bad. I mean, quite frankly, you just think you needed, you know, just a little bit of grace. You weren't that bad. And then the more you come to the knowledge of the truth about yourself, the more you realize you're like, oh, I need a lot of grace, man. Lord, have mercy upon me. Because your natural tendency is to what? Think very well and highly of yourself. Oh, that is so natural to do, isn't it? It really is. And so when that truth comes, what do you want to do? You want to shift blame. You want to do everything you can to accept, come to that realization that you're that bad, you're absolutely depraved, you have nothing to offer. You don't want to come to that. But it's the truth. And that's why we need Jesus. And he's here to set you free. And to pour that grace and that mercy there upon you. And you can be set free and alive in him. I mean, that's an awesome thing. What does the scripture say about man's heart being what? Desperately wicked. And what was it? Something, an evil heart of unbelief that's in man. So, look, one of the things is that the things that we held esteem, I mean, because really, quite frankly, you know, we talked about going out here, and we talked about passing out handouts, just letting people know where we're at, and these kinds of things. But look, if you guys don't have a grasp on Jesus, I mean, because what's going to save those folks out there? What is going to save those that don't know Jesus? What's going to save them? Jesus. Jesus is the thing that's going to save them. It's not going to be you or what you have to offer or how you are or the vanity of thine own mind. None of those things are going to save anybody. In fact, it'll drag them down is what it'll do. It's going to be Jesus that saves. And if we're looking at Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith, as the one who is saved, and that's the one that we're ministering, and we recognize that it's only by him we have that you are saved, I mean, if it's only by Him and that's what we're about and we're all about Jesus, then praise God. Let's go forward and do those handouts. Let's know it. But we really need to know it. It can't be anything of ourselves that we have to offer. Because if we're going out there and offering ourselves, man, hang it up. It ain't going to do nothing for anybody. Nothing. And a lot of times we do offer ourselves. You know why I know this? This is the reason why we know this is because the things that we go about doing and the things that we do is not His commandment. It's the thing that we esteem so high. It's the things that we esteem so high and lofty about ourselves that we hold so dear to. That we're just, we're right, and the things that we have done. Oh man, that's the things we hold so high and awfully. And if that's the thing we're offering, then why would the Lord bring anybody by this way? Wouldn't. But see, if you know and you recognize it's by Jesus, and it's by grace you are saved, and it's all about Him, you're going to be quick to jump on His commandments. You're going to be quick to believe His word. You're going to be quick to wrap your arms around Him and hold Him high and say, it's by Jesus. It is by Jesus. And it's going to be His word that you preach and you hold high, not your own. Because you're going to recognize that your own is nothing. It's garbage. It's to be cast out. It's the battle worth you take that carnal mind and you put it down because you understand that it's death. And it's no good for you or for anybody else. But as long as you're holding that old carnal mind as high in esteem and lofty and all these things, that's the thing you're going to be ministering. So let's get honest with ourselves, folks. Let's get honest. Let's get down to the place where we're going, Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, show me the truth. Look, Lord, do what it takes. Lord, do what it takes. So I get free of this garbage and this nonsense that I've been hanging on to so long. And really, look, I mean, gosh, we've had many suggestions unto us, haven't we? We have had many commandments, not to our harm, for our good. The things that's been suggested for you with JC and that things, was that for your harm? Or was that for y'all's good? That was the good for you, Lisa, for you, Brad, for you, Jay. I mean, that was the good for each and every single one of you. That's what it was for. That y'all can be set free. But there was those truths that y'all had to come to the realization that the things and the way that you've been going down were wrong. And it opened up opportunity for the enemy to come in. You had to come to that. That had to be the first thing that had to be addressed. But it's been for you good. Now you have a testimony of what? The Lord. It hasn't been a testimony of you, Brad, or you, Lisa, or Jay. It's been a testimony of Jesus Christ. That's what they need. You know, I was talking to Brad a little bit, and I asked him. I said, you ought to know an answer to this question. And the reason why, so I don't want you, look, man, you get with the Lord, man. You get with the Lord and ask yourself, why is this the case? He said he had an idea about it, praise God, but I want him to know the absolute truth about it. You know why I want him to know about the truth about it? Because I want Brad to be set free. I want him to grow. I want to see the Lord work in his life abundantly above he can ask or think. And I just don't want it for Brad, folks. I want it for each and every single one of you. But yet there is yet a unbelief that goes on. There's a yet hardness of heart. There's a yet disheartening that occurs. And the reason why I know this is because I could see and I say, hey, look, guys, y'all watch out for this. Keep an eye on this. Take heed to this. And then I come back and go do this. And then I come back and is any of these things done? Some of them. And then some of them are half-heartedly done, not taken seriously at all. So I can tell you right now, that's the litmus test. The truth in the matter of the case of those fronts is that you haven't loved them. You haven't loved them. And I can relate. I understand. I've been there. But it doesn't negate the truth, does it? Doesn't. Really does not. So let's go, folks. Let's get set free. Let's come to the knowledge of that truth. Let's repent of that old dead works. Let's enter into His rest. Amen. Let's cease from that nonsense and that game we've been playing for so long that has been absolutely unprofitable and no good for anybody. Amen. Let's get together on one accord. I want to go to Philippians real quick. I don't know if I'm running out of time. Am I running out of time? I got 8 minutes. All right, I think I can squeeze this thing in. Look, guys, this is really the place where we ought to be at. It really is the place where we ought to be at. And this is, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, which is Jesus' love, being of one accord of one mind. Look, if we're the body and we're about Him, we're going to be of one accord, one mind. We're going to be about one purpose, one agenda. One purpose, one agenda. Thinking the same. And we're going to have on Jesus' mind. You've seen Joshua. You've seen it at work. And I've heard the testimony. I've heard the testimony of Davy where he saw the Spirit move the most powerfulest. I don't even know if that's a word. But it is, I guess. But where the Spirit have moved the most was when everybody had the same mind of one accord. And not of one accord in the wrong direction, of one accord in the right direction. And they didn't have on their own carnal mind going towards a south direction. No, they had Jesus' mind on. And you can see where it moved mightily. And we see in the scripture where Joshua, when they took over the promised land, that they all were what? Of one accord, of one mind. They were obedient to who? Joshua, which was obedient to who? The Lord. And that place where we think we can go skip around Joshua and we have better ideas and we have better ways of doing these things is just nonsense, quite frankly. And it really is. But that's in the place where the Lord moved the mightiest. That's the place where we ought to seek to. That's the mind that we ought to put on. But you got to put off that old carnal mind first. You got to come to the knowledge of truth that the thing that you have been wearing is the old carnal mind, not His. See, that can be just devastating to some of y'all right now, can it? You mean to tell me I've been having this old carnal mind this whole time? Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. Well, it's the truth. So let's put it off, amen? All right, that's what I'm done for the day.